Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio, AM 1000 here in Carlsbad, California, Southern California. We're coming to you live. We call this program the 11th Hour Ministries, and it's a Bible-based hour dedicated to the love of our Lord, the Word of God through the Bible, and the mystery of the gospel. We're here to study and embrace the mystery of the gospel of God according to His Word in the Bible. We call this a 20th century application to timeless instruction. And we also hear the 11th Hour Ministries consider this hour to be literally a miracle in motion. And the reason why that is the Bible clearly instructs us and tells us that the Word of God is living and active. And when we read the Word of God, we become part of His purpose for having put the Bible together, and we actually are in tune with Him as much as we possibly can be as humans when we're in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and sharing the Word of God. And so, once again, this is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you from KCEO Radio AM 1000 in Southern California. Good evening. Tonight we're going to start off with a birthday wish for my wife, actually, who I would like to take the time, I know she's listening this evening, and just thank her for, thank God, actually, for having given my wife to me. This is a woman who I've been married to for almost 6 years, and we have two children together, and it's been a lot of work. Marriage is not an easy thing, but without a question, God has blessed me in a great way with an awesome wife. And starting in Proverbs this evening, I'd like to just read something to you that meant a lot to me early on in my relationship before I ever actually approached my wife for dating and things of that nature. I sent her a Bible and marked off this scripture in the Bible. And so it goes as follows. This is in Proverbs 31:10, and it's about the wife of noble character. And it goes like this. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for the task. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. And that scripture does identify my wife, and I just want to tell her how much I love her. And I think that that could be a very large example to this world when we read the scripture about the wife of a noble character. The question is, are we noble in our relationships with each other? And like I said, it has not been easy. Love is a loving relationship with one another is something that takes a lot of work. My wife and I set out early on in our relationship to make God the center of our relationship, the center of our marriage, and to literally make the Bible and God the referee or the neutral party in between us both. And in our worldliness, I believe we would have huge problems in our relationship if it wasn't for God and us listening to his instruction, reading his instruction, and applying his instruction through the Word of God and through the Bible. There also was a very amazing event today. We do attend a church called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. And here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we highly recommend anyone who is in the Southern California region. The Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside is a place that is absolutely alive and well. God is living and active in this church. You walk in the door and you can feel God. And today it was no exception. We talked last week about baptism and the importance of each step that it would take for us to become saved. The first step is to believe. Second step is to repent. Third step is to ask Jesus into your heart. Fourth step is to confess. Fifth step is to be baptized. And the sixth step to be following Christ. And on this day, my wife's birthday, my mother-in-law chose to become baptized by immersion in the 11th Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. And what an amazing, thrilling event that my mother-in-law chose to do that, to become a new creation in her relationship with God on my wife's birthday. So that was very exciting, and we highly recommend anyone in the Southern California region to take a look, visit the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. They have a website. It's light, LIGHTCC.org. And in this church and school atmosphere, these folks absolutely follow the Word of God to the letter. God is super blessing this campus, this church. They also have a TV program on KOCT-TV. That's Cox Cable on channel 18 between 12 and 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoons. But God is absolutely alive and well in the church. And we do recommend that anyone who's listening to get a Bible so we can do our study tonight together in the Word of God. And also to recommend that you would find yourselves a church that has all of the ingredients that God asks for in the Bible in motion, and they follow the word of the Lord according to what he asks us to do through the Bible, which is all of the steps that we just went through, including one very important step, which is to be baptized by water, or the original Hebrew word is baptismo, which every time in the Bible that it's mentioned the word baptism, it actually, the word in Hebrew, baptismo, means immersion. So having said all that, we once again are the 11th Hour Ministries. We also have a website, which is the 11thHourMinistries.net. And here, what we do at this program is we're not seeking dollars to be sent in. We're not seeking your dollars here. We don't have sponsors. We're just trying to promote the Word of God. We're here to keeping it real is one of our mottos of this program. And if you have an anonymous prayer request, you can write us at the11thhourministries.net. We also are more than happy to send what's called the Bible Promise Book, which is, it comes in certain categories, and literally there is each different scripture that applies to several, you know, different categories is in this particular Bible Promise Book. We're glad to send you a copy of this Bible Promise Book at no charge to you. If you want to know more about our Lord, we're more than happy to share that literature with you. So tonight we're going to, one thing that came to me today is that if you can hear my voice at this time, that there's a message that God wants you to hear from this program tonight through His Word. So we're very excited here. There is a webcam for those who have the desire for visiting us here in the studio. You can go to kceoradio.com, and the program is aired on the internet as well as the webcam, where you can see the actual program in motion here in the studio. So this evening, it's going to get personal. And when we say that, the Bible clearly gives us instructions on how we are to live our lives and what things will God will and can bless in the direction that we choose to take in our lives, and what things that He cannot and will not bless in other directions that we choose to take in our lives. And God definitely gives us a choice. We have free will, and what God wants is our obedience. He wants us to submit to Him. Bible says every knee shall bow, but really think about the fact that God is our Father and Jesus is our brother. They've given us the Bible to share their love with us. And what God wants is to share His love as a father has love for his daughter or his son. Just genuine, pure, wrap your arms around your son or daughter and hug them and give them a kiss on the cheek and tell them how much you love them. And to see the sparkle in a child's eye and how much they admire their father or their parent is what God wants from us. He wants that sparkle in our eyes for Him. And we're here tonight trying to give you insight on the fact that God is absolutely wants our attention. Bible clearly says that our God is a jealous God, and He wants our attention without a question. And He deserves our attention. All the blessings that come to us, there's no accident in life of what, how God is blessing us, and even our challenges are meant to teach us things. And so God is looking out for you and myself as well. And we're just so thrilled about that we're here once again trying to promote the pure Word of God through the Bible. And that's one of the parts of this program is that we focus specifically on Scripture. Many people will give their version of what they think God is and what He wants of us, and they'll put their, for lack of better terms, own two cents in. Well, I am here to tell you that without pure Scripture backing up what we do and say, our two cents is worth about as much as what two cents is worth in our world today. You might as well throw them in the change cup at 7-Eleven, because nobody even counts them anymore. It's really very frustrating to see our world spiraling out of control. There are programs on TV and radio that are absolutely promoting filth and immorality, and they're just the corrosion of the core of our society. It's my opinion that there's a program Maury Povich has on during the daytimes. There's Jerry Springer, Howard Stern. There are these soap operas on the TV that promote filth and immorality. It's that simple. That's my opinion. I'm entitled to my opinion, but according to the Word of God and by way of the Word of God, these programs are are either you're either in this world part of the solution or part of the problem. And the question is, what benefit do these programs have to building each other up, to returning to the wholesome things of our world that are rapidly disappearing? It really is a cancerous type of thing that goes on in our worlds. And even rock and roll, you know, there's, it's interesting, back in the day when I grew up, being 46 years old, I used to hear these preachers saying that rock and roll was going to be take my soul away and things of this nature. But I learned to realize is what they really are trying to get the message across is that when you have a song or a band or an entity that is focused on darkness or dark things and is not clearly heading toward building you up and getting you more educated on what is proper and pure, then Jesus in the Bible says, you're either with me or you're against me. And so those of us who have TV programs or songs or any type of media type of coverage, and they are not focused on all things that God can bless and will bless, and those of us who know that the things that we're doing are not of Jesus, well, it clearly says in the Bible then they are against him. And if we get caught up in those type of things, we can easily be taken away into the darkness of sin. So all that being said, tonight the Bible clearly does talk about many different categories of behavior. And as I said, tonight we're going to get personal. There is a category that is very important to touch base on, and that is sexual immorality or immorality in general. And tonight this message is really being broadcast out. We're hoping that those who are really, really hungry to hear the Word of God and ready to get out of God's way, there's many people who, depending on their walk in life, have resistance to the Bible, resistance to the goodness that God wants us to learn through the Bible. And I was one of those people at one time in my life. I was not able or ready to hear. So we're hoping that, just as the Bible says in Matthew, it's number 5:6. Bible says, Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. I'm going to read that again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. In my life, in my own walk, when I was just a man making his own choices, I didn't know there was a love relationship that could occur through the Word of God, through the Bible. And I was making my own choices, getting advice from friends and family and things of this nature. I was so hungry and I was so thirsty for the truth that it's scary to think of now, back when I look back. I lost my innocence. I lost myself. I lost my sparkle. I lost my dignity. There was guilt and shame. It was really a very sad, I was very angry and desperate. I was filled with anxiety and didn't know where to turn. And so if those are things that you can relate to, you know, we'd like to try to fill that void, which is what the Bible did for me, was to fill that dark place in my life that I was just reaching out, grasping for straws. I didn't know where to turn, but I knew I was hungry and thirsty for the right thing. I was hungry and thirsty for a godly woman. I saw the way this world handled the affairs of business, back and forth with in my business dealings, and the way that, you know, there was so much unscrupulous behavior. I mean, things that were just really hurt me, and I didn't know why and what could be done about these type of things to get myself away from them or to at least understand them. And then I learned that you reap what you sow. That's what the Bible tells us. And so I started to look at what were my sins of choice? What was I slave to? What was I surrendering to? And what were my adult pacifiers? And under those circumstances, I actually looked into the fact that I was using drugs as a painkiller, alcohol as a painkiller, tobacco, overeating. These are things that people can relate to as far as trying to ease the burden or pain inside themselves. That is that missing link. That's that hunger and thirst that can't be filled without the Word of God and the Bible. Binge eating, pornography, lovers of money, people who are lustful and lover of worldly things, adultery, crime, drugs, molestation, hate, rage, anger, all kinds of internet sin. I mean, the world is just getting spun sideways on this internet, and how easy it is for us to get absolutely captivated by the sin that comes out of that machine, and the way our children and those of us who don't have a can self-control through the Word of God, that just get taken away into the pornography and darkness that internet, it was just waiting to draw you into. Deceit and stealing and pride and arrogance and bitterness and divorce and emptiness. The void in your heart cannot be filled without the Word of God. And I was there. This is a way I lived my life, and I had pretty much been chasing after everything worldly, but I knew something was missing. And so tonight we're hoping that through the Word of God, that a new spirit, a new life, a new creation, a new direction, a new outlook, a new awareness, a new hope, and a wholesome soft-heartedness comes from the hour that we spend together here, and that God can super bless your life by your actions and behavior because of the choices that you make. We highly recommend the Bible is a love letter from God to us. It's his way of instructing us as to what he wants us to do. It's his way he loves us. It is living and active. And I always thought it looked great on my shelf, but when I learned, when I pulled it off my shelf and there was someone there to teach me how to read it, I was blown away. I absolutely was just amazed, and still am in awe of how important the Bible is and how awesome it is. And the question is, what do we spend our lives focused on every day when we go through our lives? What dedicates the time of our mind from the time we wake up to the time we go to sleep? What do we focus on? What drives us? I had actually gone from lost to found, and from the darkness of this world into the light. And it was the darkness of my own heart, not knowing exactly what I wanted in my life, but looking for all types of things that would bring me happiness or fulfillment, whatever you want to call it. So, once again, we're asking that that you just kind of pay attention to that scripture, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, because that's really the key. And God will bless those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, and he will fill them through the Word of God. If you know anyone who there's in relationships are struggling, moms and dads and brothers and sisters and sons and daughters and people who are dating and marriages and co-workers, these are all signs when we struggle and have relationships that aren't heading in the right direction, which are you see it on the news, all these people who are just in total conflict. This is a signal from God that he's calling us to him. And he's calling us to the mystery of the gospel. He's calling us to the Bible. He's calling us to learn to know him and to become part of him through the Word of God. But we have to turn to him, and he expects that to be the case. The Bible says, "Knock and I will come." But the key is that you have to knock first, and then God comes into your life. So here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we're coming to you from KCEO Radio, AM 1000. And this is Southern California, If you're listening to us from the radio this evening, we highly recommend it. The Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. If you can relate to any of the things I've said so far, there's plenty more to come. We super encourage you to head to the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. It's on the internet, is light, LIGHTCC.org. If you have children, what an amazing group of people to give care to your children. In this crazy mixed up world, aren't you afraid, those of us who are parents, where on earth you would put your children in the care of what people to, how much you would trust them, and the things we've seen on the news and the things we know to be very scary about the world. The Lighthouse Christian Church has a program called Awana. It's a Christian school. They have child care, they have study classes and home Bible studies, outreach programs. God is alive and well in this church, and we super highly recommend that you take the hour of your life on a Sunday morning and go and visit this church if you want to get to know God better. If you already know him and you want to serve in an awesome place, what a great family that has gathered together in his name in that church. And the people who do the child care and grooming of our children through the Word of God are just doing a phenomenal job. And so we really super highly recommend that. But let's go back here to those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The question is, what is your sin of choice? And the question that we really need to sit down and ask us ourselves is, we're not able to fix anything that we don't identify. It's pure and simple. If you don't want, if you're going through your life and you feel the pain, you feel the emptiness, you feel this void in your heart, you're not having success in relationships with boyfriends, husbands, children, the community in any way, if you're not happy, if you feel this uncomfortableness in you, all those things are signs from God that he wants us to identify what our choices in life are and what things we go through to pretty much define who we are. The question is, what do we spend our time thinking about all day long? What things are giving us the biggest definition of who we are? What thoughts occupy your mind from the time you get up to the time you go to bed? What thoughts dominate you or rule you? And they basically do define you. And there was a time in my life when I was so pompous and arrogant and pride-filled and ignorant and deceived and delusional and blinded to think that I knew what I was doing in my life, and I didn't need a God, and I had been living a life of sin. It's that simple. And when I said we're gonna get personal tonight, I'm gonna go into a little bit of what my past was like, and that this could be something that could hopefully save someone a whole lot of miles of bad road. If there was no one there in my younger years to tell me that there was a different way of living, and now that I'm aware of the fact that there is a different way, it's really a great joy to be on the radio and to share the truth with those who may be listening. We do believe here at the 11th Hour Ministries that God would have someone listening tonight who, the person that can hear my voice, that God wants to help you change your ways. He wants you to look at the things in a new way. And this is the voice of God's reason through the Bible on the radio. That's what we're here for. It's not Mark's opinion. It's the Word of God that does the work. And that's why the Word of God, the Bible, and the church are the two main ingredients that we need to change our ways or change our lives. But the question that we say is, what is your sin of choice? Another question that leads into this next portion of my world that I wanted to talk to you about is, what does your Satan look like? There was once upon a time when I was living a life that I was very wealthy young man, wealthy in business, and was able to purchase and have anything of the world that I wanted. Basically, I had boats and wave runners and motorcycles and convertible cars and trucks and houses and very attractive women and all the different things that I thought as life when I grew up what were important, I virtually was able to achieve all of the different things that came along with what I thought were the rules of engagement and the ways to win, to be king of the hill of our world. And there came a time when I actually, during this very successful period of my life, bought a vehicle that was a Jeep because it was going to snow. And it was a brand new vehicle. And as crazy as this may sound, I had it sitting in my driveway. And I looked around after these people left that dropped the vehicle off to me. And I had everything in the world that I could possibly ever want. And when I was all alone and looked around, I thought, what's missing here? How can I not be happy? I have every material thing known to man that I should want to be happy. I had relationships with many different women at that point that was dating. And so it wasn't as if I was alone physically, but I didn't have any meaningful relationships. And so with the tangible things of the world that I chased to the point where there was nothing left to my imagination, dating relationships to the point where I had achieved what I was wanting as far as dating different women and finding out that I was able to get myself in a relationships with people, although they were not really headed in the right direction or didn't have the true meaning of what God wants us to be together when we're in a relationship together. There was nothing of the sort connected to those relationships. When I couldn't figure all those things out, I went to drugs and alcohol, and pretty much that was just a big giant painkiller for me, trying because I couldn't understand what on earth was I missing. And so after having pretty much done all the things of the world, I stood at this deck that I once had and looked around, and this is where Ecclesiastes 2 comes in, and I'd like to read this scripture to you. And it says, pleasures are meaningless. Imagine that. So this is the moment in time when this scripture came into my heart, and it really now looking back is when my life changed forever. And it goes like this: pleasures are meaningless. Ecclesiastes 2. I thought in my heart, come now, I will test you with pleasure to find out what is good. But that also proved to be meaningless. Laughter, I said, is foolish. And what does pleasure accomplish? I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly. My mind still guided me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was worthwhile for men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of the kings and provinces. I acquired men and women, singers, and a harem as well. The delights of my heart of man. I'm sorry, the delights of the heart of man. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward for all my labor. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I toiled to achieve, Everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. And that scripture really pretty much hits a nail on the head for me of what, no matter what you would do in your life and how far you would run or how hard you would run to achieve things. We see people who have so much money and yet they're so bitter or sad or deprived, or it's just crazy how what we think mankind of this world would give us happiness and how it does not do. So we go on to this story. Basically turns out where I literally, after, like I said, 20 miles of bad road, there was no one there to tell me how to change my life. And the question I asked myself at that point in time, there was a woman who I met, who I was not aware of it when I met her, but she was married. And at that time, I didn't know the rules of engagement. I never wanted to be, just by my goodness of heart, I never wanted to be connected or together with a married woman. But she lied to me when we got introduced to each other. And after numerous times meeting with her, I felt that I fell in love with her. And only to find that she was married, and by that point in my heart it was too late because I thought I loved her. Well, the thing about that particular woman is that she was absolutely beautiful. And when I finally learned that I was breaking God's rules, breaking God's heart, defying all of his commands and pretenses, and literally bringing my own emptiness upon myself, because if you're not with Jesus, you're against him, as the scripture says. I then made a phone call to my mother and said, "Ma, I thought Satan had a pitchfork and horns and a tail, but what I learned was that Satan in my world actually came as a beautiful woman." And my question to you tonight is, I was so deceived. Satan doesn't come to us in very clear methods. He has a very sneaky way about him. That's the Bible clearly says that he's very, very deceptive. And in my particular case, through a very attractive person, what really happened is, in the end, when they looked past the physical beauty, I only learned that there was darkness inside, because we were not doing anything to honor God. God couldn't possibly bless that relationship. And my question to you tonight is, what does your Satan look like? Does he look like a pipe? Does he look like a bottle of booze? Is it in a relationship that is immoral? Is there some way that you can identify? Because like we talked about, you can't do anything about, you can't fix a sin if you don't identify it in the first place. And we're here actually encouraging you to take a very close look at your life and really dig in and find out if what you spend your time focused on each day, what drives you each, you know, the things that dominate or rule your mind or your thoughts every day, and try to identify those things, because what will happen is that God will set you free. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if you hunger and thirst for truth, our Lord will set you free from the chains that bind you. Satan wants you on your knees. He wants you broken and shattered. And God wants you filled. He wants you to feel his love and share his love with others. There's a huge community of God-loving, God-fearing people. And we're super inviting you to join that family. It's so exciting to have gotten freed from the chains that bind me. I escaped the darkness and have been able to find the light. That comes from a Bible-based church of any sort that follows the rules according to the Word of God. As we said before, here in Southern California, the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside is a great, awesome, super accurately connected church to the Word of God and his commands and his precepts. And his the way he wants us to live our lives. But you have to understand, it's a love relationship, like a father and son or father and daughter. And here in this church, there is doctrine. There is the word of God that's promoted and stuck to, but it's done in a family way. We have become a family of believers. We go there, we share God's love. We don't go to bars where people are looking to take advantage of us for physical reasons. I was in a bar one night and I wondered to myself, you know, what really is the ultimate goal here? People come to bars and they say, good men or good women can't be found in a bar. And if you've ever heard those things said, you have to wonder to yourself, does that mean that no good man or no good woman ever walked through the doors of a bar? Well, of course not. We know that good women and good men do go into bars at some point in time in history. There's no doubt about that. But why is it that if you go into a bar as a female, you can't find a good man? Isn't that kind of mysterious? Well, it's very simple. It's because if you go into an atmosphere that is not designed to please our Lord, to show reverence to our God, to show self-control, to show respect to the people around you, God can't and won't bless it. And not that people don't go into bars with good intentions, but the overall anthem of a bar setting with the alcohol that gets introduced into that atmosphere, people's inhibitions start to get reduced. And the question is, why is it such a struggle to find a good person in that type of atmosphere? Very simple. God can and won't bless a relationship that is built on anything other than what he calls for through the Bible, which the Bible tells us what love is. And so anyways, we go back into the sexual immorality part of this, because unfortunately in our world today, people who are looking for relationships, you want to find a good man? I can tell you where to find a good man. The Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. This is a place where young men who have self-control, who have respect for women, who have a desire, a hunger and thirst for the truth, a hunger and thirst to treat God's daughters as they should be. So you have choices. You go to the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside, or a Bible-based church that does the word according to the Lord, and God can and will bless, eventually, a relationship that you may desire. So if you go into a bar and you have a man, if your female goes into a bar, you have a man who basically is looking to fulfill his own desires and needs, in a selfish manner, I think you're pretty much walked into trouble. And so we ask ourselves once again, if we can go into a format here to figure out what on earth is our sin of choice, my question to you tonight is this. There's a man once told me, when I was struggling in pretty much just what I felt like a lost state, which was, make a list for yourself of the top 10 things that you want in your life with a partner. And for those who are already in a relationship, we would highly encourage you to take a piece of paper, right, from 1 to 10, and put in the priority that means the most to you, starting with 1, what is your desire in a relationship with another? This can be done with relationships in family, brothers, sisters, mothers, daughters. But mostly what it actually did for me was it helped me understand that what I was looking for when I was making my own choices in life, I was so far from what God wanted in my life that it was earth-shattering to me. And don't lie to yourself. Whatever is most important to you in a relationship with another, make a list of the top 10 things that are important to you in a partner, or what attracts you. And in my world, it was God being the first, most important, trust, respect, and honesty. Well, as the list grows on, it got more of, you know, physical nature type things. But as interestingly enough is that when I matched that list up with the person that I was with, she was married, there was no God, there was no trust, no respect, and no honesty, because I got lied to right off the bat. But yet, I thought I loved her. So what's interesting is that I only found out by really looking into myself, into, you have to get intimate with yourself, into me you see, and find out what you are truly involved in versus what you think you may be involved in or want to be. So all this being said, we are coming to you from KCEO Radio, AM 1000, and this is the 11th Hour Ministries. We study here the mystery of the gospel of God, 20th century application to timeless instruction. And we're here, basically we say that here at the 11th Hour Mysteries, it's all about the scripture. If it's in the Bible, we believe it, and if it's not, we don't. Today in the 11th Hour, today in the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside, during the service, Pastor Mike touched on a topic and subject that really triggered me to want to read this scripture for you. And it goes from James 1, and it has everything to do with what we spoke of this evening. When we think of our sin of choice, we have to go to James 1:13 and read here is, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. So just know that God does not tempt us, period, end of story. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after his desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So this scripture basically does go on to say that, you know, it's our choices in our life that really define who we are in our walk with the Lord, and or if not, if we choose not to go there, what will give us happiness or not. But what we know of the Bible is very clearly that immorality of any sort is totally against God. And I'd like to go through some of the scriptures with you that actually define what God talks about in immorality, so that we can make more clear definition to what this really means according to the Word of God. On the way to the radio program this evening, there were three young females in a car, had to be somewhere in the range of about 18 years old. They looked like they were having fun, and they had some revealing clothing. And when I looked into the car, I thought to myself, I'm glad that's not my daughter. And, you know, the question is, do we teach our children how to revere our Lord in their actions and behavior? And do we do the same for ourselves? Are we setting an awesome, great example? Or are we promoting immorality? Here in Matthew 15:19, it says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. It comes out of our own hearts, our own hearts' desires. In Mark 7:21, from within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, and adultery. In Romans, let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in drunkenness and not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. 1 Corinthians 5:1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. We have to be very careful. There's all types of promotion now for gay marriage and things of this nature. And make no mistake about it, the Bible clearly says that God cannot and will not bless this type of behavior. And there's many places in the Bible that clearly state that immorality is going to separate us from God or continues to keep us from God, whichever way you look at it. Food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy both of them. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. That's 1 Corinthians 6:13. And 1 Corinthians 6:18, here it comes. Flee from sexual immorality. All sins, all other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. That's 1 Corinthians 6:18. Let's see here. We have also 1 Corinthians 10:8. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. That's a story that we need more time to get into, but God will not and does not bless this type of behavior, and there is a price to pay for sin. We know that the Bible clearly says in Deuteronomy there are blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And so the reason for this program tonight is I just felt strongly that there was someone in some way that would be able to maybe look differently at their lives, and maybe the person who's listening tonight knows someone. Maybe it's not you at all. Maybe it's that you know someone who is living in an immoral way, and that you think might benefit from going to a Bible-based church. The purpose for this program tonight, the 11th Hour Ministries, is we want to promote God's truth, and the world is a lost place. If you feel the pain of the void in your heart of not that something's missing, this is the reason that we encourage you to find a Bible-based church so that they can study and seek the mystery of the gospel of God, the 20th century application, the timeless instruction. This is God's word to us. He wants a love relationship with you, but it's in wholesomeness, in purity, to become cleansed by God. If you confess your sins and get yourself clean, you can become saved by the Lord, and God will take you there. He will get you over this hump between, you know, back in the day when life was so tough every day, and give you a new direction and a new purpose. That's what we talked about earlier. This is a new spirit, a new life, a new creation, new direction. God will give you a new outlook and a new awareness, a new hope. He will make you wholesome and give you a soft heart to love Him and to learn more about Him. Galatians, it talks about the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Ephesians 5:3, this is an awesome scripture. But among you, there must be not even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. That's the Bible, that's the instruction. Colossians 3:5, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. God wants you and I to turn to Him for wisdom. Turn to Him for instruction. Like I said, is like to encourage you to put a list together. If you're in a relationship that's dysfunctional, or you know someone who is, If you have a friend who's in a relationship, make a list of top 10 things that you know your friend would want in a partner, and then actually have them fill in what you think the reality of it is, what they are into, and hand it over to them. We can't change the things we don't identify. That's the main anthem here tonight. We all have a sin of choice. We're here to encourage you to look deep inside yourself to try to figure out what your sin of choice is. And once it's identified, to purge yourself of that, to fight against the things that belong to your earthly nature. When I lived a life that was according to my own desires, I had everything and I had nothing. When I have now dedicated my life to the Lord for the last 10 years in the Word of God, and I've been blessed with an awesome godly wife, a wife of noble character. I have two awesome children, an awesome family around me, an awesome business, and it's a pleasure. It's a treat to be a servant to the Word of God and God's people. Becoming a born again Christian. Well, back in the day, I always thought that there was a bunch of kooks running around with Bibles in their hands. But the fact of the matter is that normal people who just love our Lord want to share His love with you. And the purpose for this radio program is in the things that we've talked about tonight. I've been through a lot of different worldly things, and I found myself having gone down most of the trails that people were taught as. When I was growing up, what was important to man, money, women, fame, tangible things, toys in the toys box, and it got me nowhere. In the end, I realized that I can assure you that you can chase after those things all you want, and in the end, you will be standing there saying, these are meaningless. So once again, we're here at the 11th Hour Ministries. We super encourage anyone in the Southern California region to go to a Bible-based church, one that does the works of God according to the Bible. But again, the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside on the web at lightcc.org. Easy enough to remember if you're driving in your car. They have a program on KOCT-TV, Cox, that's Channel 18, on Saturdays, 12 to 1 in the afternoon. Great Christian school, great Christian church, and just a great team of people collected together who are God's family, sharing His love, His truth, through the gospel of God and through the Word of God. The one thing that we would like to say tonight is, without a question, there are steps to being saved. And if you feel that you've learned anything tonight, or you feel that some of these things may have touched your heart, do know that God expects you to believe first that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died to pay for your sins and rose again to give you eternal life. That's number one. Number two is to repent and turn from your sin and ask God to forgive you. Fight against your sin. Number three is to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be the Lord of your life. Let Him drive the bus. Let Him show you the direction, the right direction to go. Number four is to confess Him as your Savior. My wife and I, on a regular basis, when we feeling kind of a little bit sideways in our walk or whatever, we say, Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. Just say that. If you feel that Satan is attacking you, or he's getting, if you just for any purpose whatsoever, any time you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, Satan cannot and will not be there. Repeat that out loud to yourself and see what God will do with you. He will bless that all day, every day, and it's your ultimate protection. If you feel that Satan in any way is coming near you, just try that out. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Number five is to be baptized, and that doesn't mean by immersion. If your church doesn't promote baptism and it doesn't have a baptismal, we super encourage you to challenge your pastor as to why the Bible states in so many places that we are to be baptized by water. The Bible says to be like Jesus, and Jesus was baptized. We're to be just like Jesus. And number six, finally, is to follow Christ, letting him lead you through your Holy Spirit and in his word. We love you with the love of the Lord here at the 11th Hour Ministries. Catch you next Sunday.
KCEO, Vista, San Diego. Hi, Irwin.